I'm going to ask Mark to come up. Good morning, Sal. It's my privilege to introduce Mark to you. Mark and Jill have been with us this weekend holding a missions workshop specifically focused on us following the mission of God as well as learning better how to care for our missionaries. Mark has been serving the Lord and the kingdom in many different ways, many years in Belgium as missionaries and also serving the church in Ohio and now working for Mission Resource Network. He is truly a man with a heart for God's mission. And we're excited about what he's going to share with us today. Let's say a prayer. Lord, you are the Lord of the harvest. You are the Lord who reigns supreme in a world that is filled with such turmoil and uncertainty. We know that you are in control. And Lord, as your body, we submit to you and we pray that you will lead us into your mission. Pray that you'll bless Mark today as he shares with us. Open our hearts, open our ears. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, David. Oh, what a blessing to be able to be here. And I just, we've just been amazed to see, even to be here on this day with this video to talk about the courage of this church and moving forward. And I don't know about you, but I can see from where I sit, God is up to something right here. God is doing things and has been doing things in this church in a powerful way for a long time. And we're just thankful to see where this is going to go. And I sort of wish we could be here to be a part of both services and to watch what God's going to do. It's just an amazing thing to think about. I really think that as we think about, as we pray about, and look forward to just what God has planned, I want us to dig into a passage of Scripture. So I invite you to take your Bible or your digital copy or whatever you use, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 10 today. And I want to talk about some surprises. And I'm asking the question right away, how did I miss this? In racing past the limited commission, what can be called the limited commission, to search out the depths of the Great Commission, there's some things that I missed completely that you may have missed as well. And we just want to underscore those this morning in what we're talking about. I want to just, before we dig into the text, like I need to say thank you to Vicki and to Gerald and for their hospitality, not only their wonderful beds, but taking us to the heights of the top of the Capitol building to see the whole area in one fell swoop and giving us a taste of Louisiana. And I'm just so thankful for David and for Vicki and for their leadership, their blessing in our lives to be all we can be as missionary caregivers and to bless as we can in that. And I'm just so thankful for being a part of the Missionary Care Workshop. It has just been such a special blessing. And for all of you in wondering what God has next, what God has planned, I hope that we will leave today. I'm just thinking about the missions committee and what this leadership has planned. What God has planned for where you will go, not only locally, but also far, far away from this place. It's exciting to think about. By the way, the last time I saw Blaine that I remember was on a rooftop on 4th Avenue in Cuyahoga Falls, roofing for Virginia Wilkinson, getting her roof on. She's an elderly single woman in the church where I preached at the time, and Blaine came as our youth ministry intern and just turned the whole place upside down. So we're very thankful for a chance to reconnect with him, and you really don't know what a gift you have here in Blaine and Kate. We're just thankful for the work that they're doing for God right here. So what does it mean? What does it mean to obey Jesus when he calls us to follow him? What does it mean to just do what he wants done? I think about following him seems like, at least in many ways, a little bit insane. And there's a book called The Insanity of God, Nick Ripken has written, that we'll allude to in a moment. But part of that is, well, what's insane about Jesus saying, if you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross every day. You need to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow. What is up with that? What does a cross have to do with just being a follower? And this whole idea of in what it means to follow Jesus, what does it mean to follow him in, I don't know what's going on. I know that the techno demons, they're up there. Well, there you go. I'm going to back up. Does this back up? There you go. I love it when technology takes over and we have no idea what's happening. When Jesus says, you're going to have to go as lambs among wolves, and somebody says, when they're talking about mission, the mission of God, and they say, okay, we're wanting to send missionaries to this place, is it safe there? And I think about the question, lambs among wolves? What part of lambs among wolves do you not understand? It is not safe to go as a lamb among wolves. You don't have to have a degree in lambology or wolfology to figure out what is going to happen next. And so I want us to reconsider. I want us to think about what is it that we're doing when we follow Jesus and follow his call. So we change it to, I am sending you out into receptive territory where you'll never have to struggle and where there'll always be 100% fruit. We change it to the gospel according to me or the gospel according to us. We change it to, you know, we can't change it. Because when Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, it requires the cross. It requires the self-denial. It requires, yes, even I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. So what are we going to do with this? I just think about the work that's being done here at South Baton Rouge and in this community, both the prison work, the work with the Chinese, and we got to be in the class this morning and listen to Chinese spoken and sung. It's just a blessing to be able to be a part of that and to watch what's being done on campus right next door here and what's being done around the world, Venezuela. We think about all of those kinds of things, Honduras, China, oh my goodness. The list goes on. As the ripple effects from this church go out, I'm just so thankful. Okay, let's look at the text. You've got it open by now. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them on ahead in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit. And these were his instructions. Listen carefully. And you might want to take notes or you might want to circle some things in your Bible if you're allowed to do that. The harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. Pray to the Lord that is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers into his fields. Now, go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take along any money or a traveler's bag or any extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone along the road. Whenever you enter a house, give it your blessing. And if those who live there are worthy, the blessing will stand. And if they are not, the blessing will return to you. When you enter a town, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking all what they provide you. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. If a town welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you and heal the sick, and you will heal them and say, the kingdom of God is near you now. And if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe the dust of your town from our feet as a public announcement of your doom. And don't forget, the kingdom of God is near. Let's pray together. Lord, you've said pray, so we want to pray. We pray for this lesson. We pray for these words, that our hearts would be receptive to hear what you have to say to us today from your word. And Father, we don't want to walk away from your word unchanged. So we pray that you would do your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose you noticed it. The first imperative is so pray. Pray for workers. And where are those workers going to come from? Where will those workers arise from? Could it be that if I pray for workers, that one of those workers might be me? One of those workers might be the person next to me in the pew this morning. One of those workers might be the very person I'm trying to reach, that they become a worker, that they turn around and everything changes. What a change it makes to just listen to what God's having to say. Praying for workers may mean preparing meals on Friday evenings. Praying for workers may mean gardening for those who can no longer do that, or cleaning house for those who can no longer do that. It may mean doing the dishes for someone just as an act of service. It may mean cleaning house or even helping on a team here at the building. And the very second thing that I see in this text is, and this may come as a shock, the Lord is in charge of the harvest. It's not my mission, it's his mission. So I've got to give him all glory, praise, and honor, but also step aside for his plans and watch where he's working and see how I can be a part of his work. As Jesus explained it in John chapter 5, I tell you the truth, the Son could do nothing by himself. Let's be honest. If Jesus says, I can do nothing by myself, shouldn't we echo that? Shouldn't we admit right away, okay, if Jesus can't, we can't. And then Jesus says, he only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So, for the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. One of our tasks becomes very quickly, watch what God is doing. So a big question is automatically, okay, what is God up to in this town? What is God up to on campus? What is God up to in various neighborhoods? So that we can join him in his work. It is his kingdom. We are his kingdom workers, and so we follow him. And then he says, now go. Pretty obvious. Now go. After that first imperative of pray, the second imperative is go. Now, and remember where he says to go. As lambs among wolves, that's not going to end well. That's not safe. You can't mean that. In fact, that's insane. Nick Ripken says, and he does this after interviewing countless Christians in persecuted areas. Very important to take a look at what he has to say, because he tells this story about asking those he was interviewing in Russia why they don't tell the stories of how it feels to be persecuted and what it means to be persecuted in their faith. And this one Russian said to him, come over to the window. And he says, you have sons, right? And he says, yes, I have two sons. He says, well, you never took your two sons to the window and said to them, watch, the sun is going to come up. Because guess what? The sun comes up every morning. It's a natural, it's a normal thing. And this Russian minister said, as normal as it is for the sun to come up every morning, we don't talk about it, we don't write about it, because it's very natural and normal. I am afraid, church, that in the American church, it is not natural and normal to go out among wolves as the lambs, because we don't do stuff like that. That's not in our DNA. We haven't gone there. We have chosen to stay comfortable. This is a very comfortable pew, by the way, so I'm just going to stick it out in my comfortable pew, in my comfort zone. Where did we ever get the idea that Jesus sends us out as lambs among wolves and we should huddle up with the sheep when we get there? Don't miss this. When he sends us out as lambs among wolves, he intends for us to work among the wolves. That's going to be radical. There's going to need to be change. There's going to be a huge difference in what happens in our world because of that. And so go means getting out of my comfort zone. And number four, and I think this is equally as important, is go dependent. He says, don't take anything for your journey. Don't take an extra bag. Don't take an extra pair of sandals. Don't take a bunny. Don't take any money. What is he saying? You need to depend on God. Go dependent. Go dependent on the one that's going to supply your needs. How are those needs going to be supplied? Let's watch this, because what we do with Jesus' words is we change them. When Jesus says, go dependent, we say, no, go fully funded. Go fully prepared. Go on your own strength. See how messed up we are? I do say go as a team. We talked about that in our missionary care workshop. When somebody says they're wanting to go somewhere, our first question is, who's your team? Where's your team? You need to team up. And that's why I believe Jesus sent them out two by two to hold one another accountable and to encourage one another in difficult times. So go together. We say, and I think this is important to remember, that we say, you got to stop and talk to everybody along the way. And Jesus says the complete opposite. Don't stop. Stay focused. You've got to go to this village, and that's the village I'm about to go to, by the way. So stay focused on that village. That's where you're headed. Isn't it amazing how we change Jesus' words? Because we think, oh, he means. No, we need to listen to what he's saying and see how it can make such a difference. We need to pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send forth workers, but we also need to pray, Lord, lead me with your eyes. Lead me with your heart to the person I need to reach today, not the person that's like me, that I'm comfortable with, but yes, that person that's very different than me. Give me your focus. Don't let me have this spiritual ADD that flits from one person to another or one project to another, but help me stay focused, as you have said. And then, I believe he says, in other words, go as a person of peace. Come to this house, give the blessing. If the blessing returns, then you got to move on. In fact, he even says, shake the dust off your feet. So we go as a person of peace. May God's peace be upon this house. Wait a minute. Have you ever said anything like that as you have entered into a home? Has that been on your lips whenever you've gone to visit someone? May God's peace be upon this house. I don't know about you, but I've not said that a whole lot. I stand in complete disobedience to God's word here, because I've never said that. I've never thought about that. Going as a person of peace, bringing peace, looking for persons of peace. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid I wouldn't even know a person of peace if they came right up beside me. What do they look like? So we've got to learn how to look for persons of peace. Now, let me just suggest one way to do this. Let's watch this video and see if this will help.
One of the first questions that we get in a lot of our church trainings especially is how we begin to share the gospel with Muslims. And it's a fair question that oftentimes when we think about people groups that seem to have such a different experience culturally than ours, we often wonder how we might even begin to share what we consider good news when it's already so commonplace to us, but we're so culturally foreign from our neighbors. One of the ways at Global City Mission that we've thought about trying to reach out to Muslims is that rather than placing ourselves in the position of a teacher as an authority, why don't we respect and honor the spiritual capacity that our Muslim neighbors already have to understand God and the gospel? And why don't we enter into a conversation with them that allows us both maybe to read the gospel with fresh eyes? What this looks like practically, we talk about, is honor evangelism. I'll be sitting with a Muslim friend that I know to be a very devout religious person. And so I'll say something to them like, you know, after getting to know you, I can see the devotion you have to your faith and to honoring God. One of the things that Isa, which is Jesus in Arabic, one of the things that Isa said is that only the person with the right kind of ears can understand and interpret the gospel for other people. And with the devotion that I see you have about faith and about trying to understand the laws of God, I think that you would be the kind of person who would understand the stories in the Injil, which is Arabic for gospel, and be able to explain them unto the people. And so I say to my friend, you know, if you feel like you're this kind of person, would it be all right if I told you one of the stories from the Injil that can be very confusing to understand, and maybe you could explain what you think it means so I can understand it better? And if my friend is receptive, which people usually are when you honor them in this way, they say, of course, you know, tell me the story from the Injil. I would love to explain to you what I think it means. And so at this point, we just begin to share parables with our Muslim friends, because that's exactly what parables are. They're meant to be reflected on and digested and interpreted to see, you know, what does it mean that the kingdom of God is like this? How is the kingdom of God like a mustard seed? How is the kingdom of God like a woman looking for a lost coin? And so we share these stories with our Muslim neighbors and say, you know, help me understand, what does this mean? What is God trying to teach me through this story? What is Isa trying to say about God and what God's kingdom is? And in this way, we open the door for relationship because of the respect and the honor that we show our neighbors without in any way sacrificing the integrity of the message of the gospel. And at Global City Mission, it's this kind of imaginative but respectful and honoring evangelism that we want to do with our neighbors, both here and around the world.
So does this trigger your imagination as to how you might work to honor other people by asking them to read scripture with you and asking them to give their ideas about what they're hearing God say in that same passage? What a great idea. The other thing that I want to touch on just briefly this morning is the whole issue of hospitality. You know, Jesus is sending us out with nothing. Take nothing for your journey. Okay, who's going to supply my needs? And here's where we find out that Jesus puts hospitality on its head. And you're thinking, whoa, hospitality set on its head? What does that mean? The people that we go to talk to are the people that are going to supply our needs. When he says, eat what's set before you, all of a sudden we realize, you mean the people I'm reaching with the gospel are the people that are going to help me even survive? That they're my survival? In other words, I'm not supposed to so much invite them as encourage them to invite me? Oh, this is different. God's going to provide my needs. Divine hospitality through the neighbor that I probably wouldn't have chosen to talk to because they're kind of, pardon the expression, wolfish. They seem a little bit dangerous. And here I am called to go be a part of their life and eat what's set before me. There's an interesting thought, and this does not involve inviting yourself over to someone else's house, but it does involve something unique, a unique way to invite others to your house, and it's called the turquoise table.
Eric and I have always wanted to know our neighbors. When we were first married, we lived in an apartment complex, and we didn't want to let that stop us from having people over and getting to know people around us, so we had a lot of people over. When we moved into our house, same thing, I would accidentally cook too much food, then I would take the kids outside, and we went door knocking and invited our neighbors over to have meals with us. It's something that we have tried to do, getting to know our neighbors. I have a dear friend in our neighborhood. We're also Facebook friends, and she started posting about inviting people to your table, but having the table be outside. So I got one over Easter. She got one soon after, and we've had a couple organized events at our tables. We had a coffee and donuts party. We invited our whole block, which is 30 houses. 30 houses. We had no idea who would come. But the coolest thing was that the neighbors that we knew didn't know each other. So it was a good connecting thing to start off, to kind of kickstart this turquoise table in our front yard. And since then, it's been a roller coaster of things that have happened that the Lord has just brought to us as a family. One of my neighbors is having a lot of trouble, and so we and some of my other neighbors are trying to help her through some of her struggles. Another one of my neighbors' houses got flooded and came to us and said, I have standing water in my house and it's been sitting there for a week. And we said, you're gonna stay with us tonight. a very obvious way that we share Jesus with them is by praying before our meals. And for my neighbor in distress, it's been very meaningful to pray before a meal because we include some of the things that she's going through in our prayer. Very few of our neighbors go to church. Very few of our neighbors love Jesus. I've had a lot of conversations with my kids about how we act as a family, what we say and what we don't say, because our neighbors don't have those filters around my kids. But it doesn't stop us from still going outside and still getting to know our neighbors. Having a table in your front yard is a great, easy way to get to know your neighbors. And just from what I've shared through Facebook, I think the count is up to 8 of my friends have also gotten turquoise tables or just tables and chairs in their front yard and are trying to be intentional about their efforts in their community and their neighborhood and getting to know their immediate neighbors. So I think the turquoise table idea is easy. It's not something that you have to wait for permission from a church minister to do. It's not something that you have to invite your friends to the church building because that's very intimidating. You don't even have to clean your house for it. I think that showing our neighbors how we love our kids and how Eric and I love each other as man and wife and as a family, how we kind of do life together, I hope that it's a testimony to how Jesus is in our family and in our home.
Okay, I'm sort of interested to hear what you ladies heard from Laura. What did you hear? Don't have to clean your house. That's exactly right. Okay, do we make it too difficult sometimes? Do we make it too hard? And yet, here we have a turquoise table. And you can, by the way, you can Google turquoise table and download the book about the turquoise table to see where these ideas came from. It's just a wonderful thing. Just think about the sky's the limit. We do not need to be restricted by our own imagination because we can lean on the imagination of others. And we can see where God wants to take this and what he wants to do with it. So the question is, as we journey on ahead, and this is so important, is we think about what's the message. Could our message be that we could let our message be peace, that we can let our message be honor, that we can let our message be peace on purpose in the name of God, in the name of bringing the kingdom. And what's our method? Could our method be just living it out, just asking questions, saying to someone we know, I need your help in understanding how your culture or in your setting, in your environment, what this text would mean. Explain this to me. So powerful. So that we would let honor be our method. And the question of what's our purpose? Well, our purpose is obviously God's purpose, right? Well, if you go to church with us, you'll hear the question, who's your one? Because that's being asked a lot. So I'm going to ask you, who is your one that you're trying to reach for God? Who is your one that you want to invite to come and be a part of these two services? Who's the one that you're going to be praying for this week that you're going to be a person of peace to them and just be able to tell, are they a person of peace in return? I think it's important for us to think in terms of where is God going with this and what can we expect from him with this? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and go as lambs among wolves. Missions is going to look very different because your neighborhood is going to look different. This is a neighborhood in Burkina Faso. Some of us think, okay, if the capital city is named Ouagadougou, I don't even want to go there. But I'm just finishing here to say there are different worlds out there represented by the people that we meet every day, and we don't get on the inside because we fail to obey Jesus. Can you imagine I'm saying that those words to a church? We fail to obey Jesus? Walk back through the text and see if we can walk forward with him, listening to his call. Let's go this week dependent. Let's go this week purposeful and listen to what he's telling us. You may have a need in your life that you need to be made known to the elders of this church. People here are willing to pray for you and love on you. We just invite you to be a part of what's going on here in a very special way.